Business Class is brought to you by the Tourism Academy, harnessing the power of science, business psychology, and adult education to advance the tourism industry and build sustainable economies. Learn how to engage your community, win over stakeholders, and get more visitors at tourismacademy.org.
Harvest Host has been interesting because you never know what kind of people you're going to meet, you know?
Right.
And, 3 or 4 months ago, I was reading through, we were going somewhere, we were in the car, and I was, the magazine had come, the Harvest Host magazine had come across and on the email, and I pulled it up, and we're just driving, so I'm kind of scrolling through, and it says something like RV with kids or something like that. And I said, hey, let's read about this and see. We don't have kids anymore, so let's read it. I don't know. Anyway, I get reading and I get partway down and I'm like, Rob, they're talking about our place.
Oh, wow.
It was our place they were talking about. So I get going down farther and farther. I'm like, I remember these people. I remember when they came. And so I finished reading the article and I was like, oh my gosh, that was just so cool. I had no idea when they came that they had planned on submitting some article or something, you know.
Well, I didn't plan on interviewing you. That makes you feel any better. Like, I had no plan. Like, you obviously have an interesting story. Do you want to introduce yourself first?
Okay, so I am Jenny Perkins. We are here at Diamond P Grassroots Bison in McCammon, Idaho, in our little slice of heaven. And today you wouldn't know that it was a slice of heaven since it's May 9th and it's snowing on us. But you know, it snows all the time, so.
It does. So Harvest Host is how we met.
Yes.
And Harvest Host, for those who don't know, how would you describe it?
Harvest Host is a way for regular RVers to have experiences they wouldn't normally have, I think. I grew up camping with my folks, and we would go to, like, canyons, you know, or you'd pull up the canyon and you'd find just a good spot with fire pit, and that's where you camped, or you'd go, you know, pull the RV away and you'd go back into Bryce or Zion or something like that. And that's how we camped. But I think for the new generation of people, I mean, not even the new generation of people, because you have people from all ages, they get to go to places that, I mean, who would normally come and be up close and personal at a bison ranch? Or a llama farm, or you pick strawberries, or, you know, blueberry patches, or what, you know, all the cool things that I hear that people have done, and the experiences that they're having. Those are not places that, I mean, if you had to pay to stay there, and to have the experience, and to support the business, and, right? The bill is too big to even be able to take your family, let alone you have that experience on your own. But Harvest Host has given people the opportunity to open their businesses to people who would never find them any other way. And that's beautiful to me.
How did you find it?
I had a lady who heard from a friend of a friend of a friend. In June, we always do Baby Bison Days. And this will be our 5th year. And we put 25 to 30 people on the red wagon, pull it by a tractor. We talk about bison for just a few minutes. We hop on the wagon. And out we go, and we feed little treats to the bison. We're out there about 45 minutes. The whole thing is just about an hour. And it was a good way for people to know where we are, know that we sold meat, and give them an opportunity to have an experience and a memory with their family. That was kind of what, plus a big part of it was the education of, you know what, come here, be up close and personal with these animals. But then when you go to Yellowstone and you go somewhere else, stay away, right? Like, give them their space.
Right.
And so we do a little bit of education when we have those groups as well, because they need to know that these are not pets. You know, you get it out there, they're not pets. You know, even here, they're wild animals. You know, people ask me all the time, are these domesticated animals? No. No.
Definitely not.
You know, so are they curious? Yeah. And sometimes people can see that as an invitation to pet them or to, you know, step forward. That's not what they're doing. They're trying to check out whether or not you're a safe place for them. And, you know, when they decide they're done with you, they're done. And so part of it is education for us. But anyway, so long story short, we do Baby Bison Days, and we do that every Saturday in June. Well, this lady, friend of a friend of a friend, had heard that we did this because one of her friends had come. Well, her son was 14, I believe. He loves bison. She lived in Florida at the time. And she called me and she said, hey, I always take my kids on a month-long vacation. We get in the RV and we come out, and we're coming that direction next year. And she said, I would like to come to your ranch, and I would like my son to have this opportunity that my friend said. And I said, okay. What I scheduled her a wagon ride all by herself, not 25 to 30 people. It was just her family, because I didn't know what kind of questions he would have. I didn't want to take away from the experience that he wanted to have because they were coming so far. Mm-hmm. Well, COVID hit, she moved to Texas. She called me to make sure it was something that she would still be able to do. And so end of June came, this was last year, the very end of June came, and she showed up. She showed up in a rig very similar to yours. Mm-hmm. And we got on the wagon out. We're out there, and in the middle of talking to her, she keeps talking about Harvest Host and how she stayed at a llama farm, and she is going to this other place, and how she was gonna stay at in Blackfoot at the Potato Museum overnight. Now, I've been to the Potato Museum, and I kept thinking, how are you gonna stay there overnight? But then she was saying, it's so much safer than a big parking lot, you know, kind of a thing. And I thought, okay, I get that. But she kept saying Harvest Host. And finally I said, you know what? I don't know what you're talking about. What is Harvest Host? Well, that opened up this whole other dialogue about what Harvest Host is. And so that's how I found Harvest Host, is from her. And then I got on the website and inquired. And the guy that picked up my information made a phone call instead of an email. And that made the difference. If he'd have emailed me, I probably would have hem-hawed around, and it would have taken a while. But because he made a phone call, mm-hmm. I was game. And here we are not quite a year later, and it's been a game changer for our ranch.
Really? Oh, how has it changed the ranch?
Well, we sell a lot of meat, and I sell a lot of meat in June. I do whole half quarter people who order, and that is sold in January after we butcher. And then I have people who come and harvest their own, and that's between November and February. And then I have pieces that I have in the freezer, and I sell those pieces. But the majority of those pieces go in June when I have my event, right? I always have, in the last 3 years, I've sold three animals that I butcher and pieces, and that's what we do. Last year, with just starting Harvest Host the middle of July, we butchered five animals last year alone. And then this year we have six in the freezer, and I know my ribeyes are getting low and we haven't even hit June yet. So it's just been really good with people knowing where we are and what's available. And I just have people all the time that are inquiring, and we don't ship in this market. I can't ship. It's too expensive for us. To guarantee that something is going to get somewhere in that timely manner and at a cost-effective price. So we're just here. Mm-hmm. And it's been a game changer.
And you were telling me earlier how you and your family got involved with bison.
Yes. So my oldest son, when he was a senior, it would have been the fall of 2011, he and my husband were hunting. They're just sitting on a hillside, and we've always taught our kids, you know, if you want to do something, you figure out how to do it. Don't let anybody else tell you that you can or you can't. You know, if you want to do it, you figure it out. And that's just the way we raised them all. Well, so they get talking about, you know, his plans for the future after high school, and hopes and dreams, and, you know, all the whatevers. And he gets done talking about that and turns to his dad, and he says, Dad, if you could do anything you wanted to, you know, you've been asking me all these questions, but if you could do anything you wanted to. Now, you have to keep in mind, my husband is a dentist. He's not a rancher. He doesn't have ranching in his family. He's not a farmer. He's a dentist. And we lived in the city. And so, I mean, he likes to hunt. He likes to do that kind of stuff. And we always grew a big garden. And I grew up with a family from a hobby farm. But that was kind of the extent of it. And so he says, Dad, money doesn't matter. Place you live doesn't matter. What would you be? My husband, without missing a beat, he says, I'd be a bison rancher. And my son just thought, what? And he took a second and he says, Dad, well, why aren't you? Well, there's the question, right? Mm-hmm. Why aren't you? And I had no idea that my husband had actually thought about this as a retirement plan. But he came home, made a couple of phone calls, and found that this is not something you can do after retirement. You have to have a job to get into it, you know, to pay for the hobby. You know, you have to have a real job. Mm-hmm. And my husband is a real researcher. So he did a couple of years of research. We put fence in. We ended up on leased property from a friend. Because again, we're in the city, right? So we had to go 6 or 7 minutes outside of the city in order to find any property that would even work for something like this. And we found a friend that was willing to lease the property that he had for the cost of what he could sell the hay that he was currently growing. So that was a pretty good deal. And in my head, honestly, I give this a 3-year plan. I figured we'd get animals, and in three years, my husband will have run the course of, okay, this is awesome, I'm done with this, and let's move on. Mm-hmm. We bought our first animals in 2013. It's now 2022. We lived in Utah. We now live at home on the range. We moved so they could have more room. The 3-year plan didn't quite pan out. But, you know, that's how we ended up with bison.
What do you love about where you are, what you do?
Oh, you know what? I used to say that I need a t-shirt that says I'm living the dream. And then in parentheses, it says just not mine. Because this was never my dream. This wasn't my thing. It wasn't my plan. And I've told my kids all along that, you know what? I support your dad. I'm a really great supporter. And I might not do a lot of things, but I do support him, you know? And I have found that I really like people. I do. I really like to be around them. I like to hear their stories. I like to share my part of what I bring to the table mm-hmm. with other people. I find that we have common interests if we can sit long enough and mm-hmm. hear each other's stories. And so I really love that part of being able to share what we do with other people. But these animals have become absolutely amazing creatures. So 4 years ago, I had a bottle-fed baby. His mama died, and the herd gave him to us. Now, that always kind of stops people. What do you mean the herd gave him to us? That's literally what they did. There's no way that we could go out to the fields and scoop up a baby. They're not cows. They're not just going to move out of the way. I've seen them surround an animal to the point that there's no way you can even get in close to them. They're so super protective. So when this baby was born, his mama prolapsed. So what that means is everything on the inside came out with the baby. And you don't go back from that, not in this world. And so he was born completely encapsulated in the sac. There wasn't a hole. So he's laying on the ground suffocating, and mom is walking away because she's got extra stuff hanging out the backside that doesn't have a clue what's going on. It was Memorial Day, and we were watching from the porch. We don't always see the babies be born, so it was kind of a treat that we were actually getting to watch. And we're watching. We see she's got something else hanging out. What's she having twins? What's going on here? Then we realize, oh, wait, she's walking away from baby. We got a problem. Well, 4 or 5 of the moms walked over, and it literally looked like they were stomping on him. So I'm kind of freaking out, right? Because I'm not okay with this. So what they were doing is breaking the sack open because he's suffocating inside. So they broke the sack open. They know they only have enough milk for one baby. So they can't lick that baby, because if they lick that baby becomes theirs. They can't pull the sack off with their teeth like they normally would do if they were the mom. They can't do any of that. They can't lick him to get him moving and stimulate and all that. They have to figure out how to do it differently. So they used their feet to break that sack open. Once they backed away, then we realized, oh, okay, that's what they were doing. Moms walked quite a ways away. And so those moms just kind of stood there and watched him. And we're trying to figure out, okay, what are we going to do? Now, you noticed while we were down there, we have the bulls and the yearlings in a totally different area. Uh-huh. At the time, we didn't do that. We had about 40 animals total at that point, maybe not even quite that many. And they were all in one field. They were all in the one field where the cows are now. So we've got a bull out there. We've got yearlings. We've got new babies. We've got moms having babies. And we've got to figure out how to now go get that baby, because that mom's obviously not going to feed it. So it took us about 10 minutes to realize what was going on with the mom, to know that, okay, there's no coming back from that. She's not going to in 10 minutes come back and wonder where her baby is. So we grabbed the four-wheelers and we went down and we came in one of the back gates, kind of where we were with the bulls, came in one of the back gates and just parked. And we're thinking, what are we going to do? As we're talking about this, like, I don't have any idea how we're going to get him from the herd. Do we come in on under cover of night? But this little one, he's got to have colostrum in so many hours. So I look over and the bull has walked over and he is licking all over him, because, you know, dads can do that. They don't feed their babies. Uh-huh. So he's licking all over and I'm saying, hey, I'm your dad. Nice to meet you. Right? So he licks all over him a little bit and then he steps back. Well, there's still four or five moms over there. And they kind of walk up to him and they're like, hey, I'm favorite aunt. No, you're not. I am. You know, you can kind of see it. But there, by the time we get done talking, I look over and there's about 10 moms standing over there with the bull. And do you know why a mom licks their baby?
Do you know why?
So most people will say it's to kind of give them that bonding, that imprinting, this is my baby, you're my mom kind of a thing. That's part of it. Some of it is to clean them off. But the main reason is to kind of get the blood flowing and get everything circulating like it's supposed to. Well, he has no mom to do that. So those other moms knew they had to get him on his feet and get him moving and get everything in his body moving so that everything, all his breath and his blood and everything is moving in the right direction. So they get him on his feet. They push at him and nudge at him until he gets up. So he's standing up and picture Bambi on ice, right? Two steps and then sprawled out. And then two or three steps and sprawled out. Well, we're still talking, trying to decide, okay, what are we gonna do? So I look over there and you've got the bull and you have the baby in front of him and four or five moms on either side. I wish I would have thought to take a picture. It was the coolest picture. And they start walking him across the field. And if he went too far one direction, those moms would kind of push him in. And if he went the other way, they'd push him the other direction. And they walked him across the field, stopped about 15 to 20 feet from us, and he staggered into us. We picked him up. I couldn't pick him up. I tried to pick him up. It was too slippery and slimy. And I'm freaking out because I'm thinking, they're going to change their mind. My husband grabbed him, put him on the four-wheeler, and we just hightailed it out of there. They gave him to us. Huh. It was one of the coolest experiences. Well, when we do, you know, then we had to deal with mom separately. So that's a whole nother story. But that was one of the coolest things ever, because we would have never gotten that animal. We would have never gotten him. His name is Trooper. You met him. Mm-hmm. He is now four, and his favorite is back scratches.
Yes.
he has become the mascot of the ranch here. And every year people ask me, how's Trooper? Where is he? And because they've seen him from the time he was little, mm-hmm. you know, because when you're feeding him every 2 hours, in order for me to go to town is a half an hour. A half an hour there and a half an hour back.
That's an hour.
I have to take him with me. Right? You just got the picture. Right? So I would load up the stock trailer, put him in. I'd shake up a bottle, feed him a bottle, set my timer, head into town, run into the store, start getting my groceries, alarm would go off. I'd stow my cart, run out, mix up a bottle, feed the baby, hit my alarm, run back in, finish grocery shopping, hope to get out to the truck and to the next place before the alarm went off again. It takes me 5 hours in town to get everything done that I need to. I try to only go every 2 weeks. Wow. But when he went with me, it took forever. Because no matter what you're doing, everything takes longer. And so he has been everywhere. When I went on vacation, because I did a fun little girls trip one weekend, he was at my husband's work all day long. And every couple of hours, he's out there. Now, remember, he's a dentist. Shaking up a bottle, feeding him, and hold on, patience. He gotta wait while he goes out to feed the baby. You know, I mean, he's been down to the park. We did, one of my kids did a reveal for, they were pregnant. They were going to have a little baby, and we put a great big, he wore a halter, and we put a great big long lead on him. Mm-hmm. And a great big huge park, just took him with us and let him go. And it was just so much fun because he likes to stay with us. You know, he likes to, so we were staying pretty close, but yeah. And then we just had to step on it and reel him in.
What would you change about what you do?
Now I don't know that I would change much. So I really love where I live. I love where I live. I love the people that we are surrounded with. I really, really love my lifestyle. What would I change? I would move my kids here closer. That's what I would do.
Gotcha. Because you're a grandma.
I'm a grandma. Yeah.
Seven?
Grandma. Yeah, seventh one is coming in August. Yeah. I have a daughter that lives real close. Mm-hmm. But my others live far away, so.
And what do your kids think of the Bison Ranch?
Up until recently, they would come and help. Once a year, we run them through for preg checks and ear tags and shots, that kind of thing, and they would come. When we get new babies, they think that's really cool. But up until recently, that was kind of the extent of it. All of them, with the exception of one that's still in school, have shown major interest. They each have purchased their own now.
Oh, wow.
So they each have a vested interest in the ranch now, which is super fun.
That's cool.
You know, we ride out there and check out theirs, and that's kind of fun. So I always wanted this to be, like, once I was invested, I wanted this to be a family venture, you know, and hopefully that's where it kind of goes.
How did you know when you were invested?
When we moved here, I was kicking and screaming. I wasn't ready to go. My kids were leaving home and they had all left home, and I didn't want to be far away from grandbabies whenever they came. And so we went on a road trip and we ended up in Montana and all kinds of places. They're beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And on our way home, I said, you know what? This is too far away. If our kids settle where we were living, we have to be able to get to them in one day. We have to be able to meet them halfway fairly quickly. So we spread out a map when we got home, and I circled 4 hours in every direction. And I said, I'm not saying I will move, but I will consider anything in this 4 hour radius. And so he planned another road trip and we ended up this direction. And when we looked at this property, we didn't look at it with a realtor. He pulled down at this little house that we passed down there. Mm-hmm. That's where the people were living. And we pull up and my husband says, hey, I'm supposed to see so-and-so realtor. And the old guy goes, no, you're not. My husband's like, I'm not? He says, no, we'll be back out in just a minute. Well, he and his wife were, they're in their 70s, but they'd been hauling hay. Mm. So he ran in and changed and came out. And we hopped on four-wheelers and we spent the next 2.5 hours covering every inch of this property. And when we got back in our car, I knew I was in trouble because my husband had just fallen in love with this mm-hmm. whole place. We have a mile of the Port Neuf River. We have three springs. We have it. This place has everything he wanted, everything that was on his list. It was 5 years too early. we weren't really looking to purchase anything. We were, he was kind of dreamy. And the guy said, hey, if you're interested, you know, let me know. And Rob's like, right now we really can't. And he said, no. He said, you go home and think about it. And you call me with what you can do. And Rob called him when we got home. And I told him, I said, there's no wiggle room. If you decide to do this and he says yes, there's no wiggle room here. Mm-hmm. But if he says no, you got to walk away. You know, we can't do any different. And he called the guy and he told the guy what he could do. And the guy goes, okay, I'll call the title company tomorrow. And he hung up the phone and I just stared at him and he stared at me and he goes, I guess we just bought property in Idaho. It was one of those things, you know, the Lord guides us in every direction that we go. But even when we came up a couple of times, it wasn't until I went to church here that that I knew for sure this was where the Lord wanted us. This was definitely led. We were definitely led here. And he leads every day. And that's just the way that we work here. And I'm able to have conversations with people I would never have met. And, you know, we're blessed by when some people come into our lives and we're blessed when some people go out.
This is true.
And, you know, Harvest Host has been really good. Hmm. And some were blessed when they come in and some were blessed when they go out. So, you know. And they only stay one night, so what could be bad with that?
There you go.